So we are talking about how we live as Christians, knowing that death will not be the end of us. We're discussing that for all of us that are in Christ, there will one day be a future resurrection, which is pretty cool, that will happen at the end of time. So we're doing this series called Staying Up in a Down World, because this world has a tendency to make us depressed and distressed. Can I get an amen on that one today? The world has a tendency to make us very stressed out, very downtrodden. And what we're learning is that one day for the Christian, even though it might be bad and it might get worse, we know that one day it'll get better and that God will do something great and phenomenal for those that believe in Jesus Christ. So we're learning that through power of resurrection, one day, that we have a reason to be up and to rejoice and to celebrate right now, even when things look so grim, when constantly you're getting, you know, on the news, bad news reports and things like that. Take your Bible. We're working through the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going through it verse by verse, talking about the resurrection. But as we do that today, I want to make sure everybody is comfortable this morning. Life Community Church really desires to be a church that preaches the Word of God, but also that you can be comfortable. So I didn't know a better way to get comfortable this morning is like this. So deacons, if you would help me today, this is what I love about the deacons of Life Community. They're really here to serve, you know. So I just thought we might get a little comfy this morning. Everybody okay with that? Everybody all right with that? So let's get a little comfortable this morning. So instead of me standing to preach today, I thought they might bring a little couch down here for me today. Yes. And by the way, they're available to help you move if you need them to. Looking good. You know, at nighttime, we get the kids to bed, we get them to sleep, and me and Taryn will sit down on the couch, and we'll get comfy. Now, she's normally kind of stretched out like that, all right? And I'm sitting there too, and we like to get comfortable because the kids have been crazy all week, and it's been kind of nuts. And so this is how we get comfortable. And I get a couple of things to help me in that comfortable. You know, you got to have your pillow, right? So I get on the couch, and I get my pillow out. That's how I get comfortable. And I got to make sure that I got my remote, because nothing's more uncomfortable than sitting down and realizing that remote's across the room. Amen or oh me today. And you got to get that on there. You got to get stretched out. You flipping those channels, you getting comfortable. But that's not enough. For me, a couple years ago, my father bought me a popcorn maker. So for me to get comfy, I have got to get my pillow, my remote, my couch, my bride next to me, and I got to get my popcorn on. And I tell you, I put my butter on it, guys. I'm telling you, I'm not lying to you. I love it. I love my popcorn. But that just ain't enough. It ain't enough. Because I've got to get my pillow. I've got to get my remote. I've got to get my popcorn. But really, it ain't over. It ain't over. It ain't over until I get my Snuggie on. And then I get my Snuggie on. And I got my Snuggie. I got my remote, and I got my popcorn, and boy, I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm doing all right. At night, when I'm doing this, and I'm hanging out, I love it. It's great. I'm calmed down. I'm relaxed. But I'm one of these kind of guys. You got to ask Taryn about this. I'm one of these kind of guys that when I'm doing this, I like to watch the news at night. Now, let's just be honest. Are there any nighttime news watchers in the house? All right, there's a couple of you. Now, my wife hates this. She absolutely hates it. Because here's what happens. I will be watching the news with my Snuggie, all right, with my popcorn, with my remote. I'm zeroed in. And my wife falls asleep on the couch. Can you believe that? She falls asleep. And she says that Fox News gives her nightmares. And then I think to myself, well, why is that? And she hears this and she starts getting nervous in her sleep, and she doesn't like it. She rolls over and says, turn on the Home and Garden Network. So I turn over to the Home and Garden Network. Then something happens to me. I fall asleep. And then something really, really, really bad happens. I finally wake up, and I look at the clock, and it's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You ever had that happen? Yesterday, Jared says. And then all of a sudden, you were so comfortable. You felt so good. Now, you don't feel that way. You're like, man, my back is hurting. My legs are hurting. I done spilled popcorn all over me. I done dropped the remote. I can't even reach it. And you do it all this, and you're like, oh, I just want to get in my bed, but I'm too tired. And you're back again asleep. And you wake back up. You're like, oh, my back. Oh, I'm hurting. Gotta get up. Gotta go to bed. So I get up. Take my Snuggie off. I said, Taryn, wake up. And she's doing this. And I say, Taryn, wake up. And I say, Taryn, wake up. 5 more minutes. I said, hon, we've had 3 hours on the couch. We got to go to bed. And finally, we get up. We're just droggy. We're getting our glass of water. We get up there. And then if I've been asleep for 2 hours on a couch, then I wake up, my back's hurting, and I go in there and lay down. And guess what I can't do? I can't go to sleep. See, I got comfortable with my Snuggie, with my popcorn, with my pillow, and with my remote control. I got comfy with something that I wasn't supposed to be comfy with. Yeah, for a while, maybe. Maybe as a de-stressor. But it led to me having a sore back, missing my bed, and not getting sleep. See, the world that we live in can be so discouraging. I mean, so discouraging. I mean, you turn on the news, you got another bombing. I mean, you know, golly, it's crazy. I'm going to have to turn off my news app because it's constant. I'm waking up every morning and stuff that happened overseas is greeting me the first thing of people that were killed in terrorist attacks. And I've just got to stop. I just got to turn it off. And it's just like, man, this stuff is never stopping. It's never stopping. And what we do, that depresses us. Bad news depresses us. And we resign ourselves to a fate. And the fate that we resign ourselves to is this, is that my life will always be miserable. My life will always be in the pits. So I'm just going to get comfortable in the misery. And I'm going to live in the misery as if the misery is where I'm supposed to live. And many of us do this. The reason we can't stay up in a down world is because we're stretched out in the world and we are comfortable with the world. And we have no desire to ever get up out of the world. So as a result of that, we are struggling today. And Christians, lost people have never risen to the fact that Jesus is alive, but some of us Christians, we have been risen to know that there is a future for us and that things do get better. But we still find ourselves stretching out in the world, getting comfortable in the world and saying, you know what, my life will never be better. Things will always be hard. Things will always be difficult. I have no reason for hope. I have no reason for peace. Well, today we talk about what it's like to stay up in a down world. We have to go back to the text of 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul is building an argument. Apparently the Corinthian church had gotten comfortable, and they were so comfortable that they were okay with some people teaching and preaching that there wasn't even a resurrection, that dead people don't come back to life that believe in Jesus. They got comfortable in that. And Paul is helping them to know, yes, as Jesus rose from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. Last week we learned that when we die, our spirits go to be with the Lord, but one day the bodies will rise and we'll live again. And it's amazing how that will work. And I don't know what that looks like, but it's going to be pretty amazing when it happens. So what we understand is that Paul is helping us today to say, knowing that a resurrection is coming, knowing that life is worth living, and knowing that this is not the end, we should today not lay down, not resign in the fact that things will always be bad, but instead to change the way we're living now to look like the way we're going to live then. So we look at what Paul writes, and let's just read it. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 29. There's going to be some kind of some weird stuff we're going to read today, and we'll try to explain that as we go along. So Paul has talked about, and now indeed Christ has been risen, and this is going to happen. And then he shifts back to the Corinthian church, and he says this, otherwise, basically saying if Christ had not been raised from the dead, if there is no resurrection, if people don't come back to life, he says this, otherwise, what will they do who are being baptized for the dead? Now, that's kind of a weird passage. This is the only time in the New Testament or anywhere else in the Bible it talks about being baptized for the dead. Paul is not condoning this. He is not teaching that we baptize for the dead. What he's saying is that the Corinthian church was doing this practice. We don't even know why they were doing it. They were so messed up and just out of sync and wacko to begin with. This is one of the many things that they had wrong. But he said, okay, you're baptizing for the dead, and if you're doing this weird practice that's not biblical, well, why are you even doing that if you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead? And he goes on to say, if the dead are not raised at all, then why are people baptized for them? Why are we in danger every hour? I affirm by the pride in you that I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. If I fought wild animals in Ephesus with only human hope, what good does that do me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He says, as an apostle of the Lord, I'm going to preach Jesus and I'm going to live for Jesus. I know resurrection's coming, so I know that no matter what happens to me in this world, I'm going to be okay. Hey, look at your neighbor this morning. Look at your neighbor. You ready? Look at your neighbor. Repeat after me. Even if you're mauled by a wild beast, if you're saved, resurrection's coming. That's what Paul said. He said, I fight the animals every day in Ephesus, and what good does that do me? If they aren't raised, what good am I doing fighting? What good am I doing that? If the dead are not raised, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived, Paul tells us. Bad company corrupts good morals. He says, quit hanging around the people that don't believe in the resurrection. That's what he says. Become right-minded and stop sinning, because some people are ignorant about God. He says, stop giving credence to this nonsense that there's no resurrection. And he says, as I say this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? Okay, Paul, you're saying that Jesus rose from the dead? Yes. And now you're saying humans or those that believe in Jesus, only those that believe in Christ will raise from the dead. Okay, well, how does that work? And Paul says, what kind of body will they have? And he says, foolish one, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you are not sowing the future body, but only a seed, perhaps of wheat or another grain. But God gives it a body as he wants, and to each of the seeds its own body. Not all flesh is the same flesh. He's talking about the resurrected body. There is one flesh for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is different from that of the earthly ones. There is a splendor of the sun, another of the moon, another of the stars, for stars differ from star in splendor. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. He's saying that animals look like one way, birds, cats, dogs, the moon, the sun, they look different, and the resurrected body will be different. You know, we look one way now, but then it will look different. So it is with the resurrection of the dead, sown in corruption, raised in incorruption, sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. You got to have a human body before you get the resurrected body. Then it's the spiritual. The first man was from the earth and made of dust. The second man is from heaven. That's Jesus. Like the man made of dust, so are those who are made of the dust. Like the heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the man made of dust, or as we look like Adam, Those that believe in Jesus will also bear the image of the heavenly man, which is like Jesus. Now, Paul is telling us basically that why should these people that believe, that don't believe in resurrection, even do anything for the Lord? Why should they go to church? Why should they sacrifice themselves? Why should they do anything? And likewise, they should understand that a new body is coming. One of the dangers of getting comfortable with this world is forgetting about what's coming. See, I lay down, I go to sleep, and I forget that I've got a better bed waiting for me upstairs. But I like to say, this is it. And as a result of saying, this is it, I wake up and my back's hurting, all kinds of stuff. Those of you all today that says, man, my life stinks. I wish my job was different. It stinks. It's lousy. You, if you're saying that today, or nothing ever goes my way, everything is the pits. Man, if you're saying that, can I tell you something? You've gotten way too comfortable with this world. You've gotten way too comfortable. Because today, you're believing this is all it is. So let's look at three ways we get uncomfy today. You cannot get comfy. You can't get comfy today because of this. I can't get comfy because I may compromise. Now notice what Paul said going back in those verses. He says, I fight the wild beast. Now, he didn't mean that literally as fighting animals. He meant those who opposed him. And he would give his life to die daily. You know, when we believe in the resurrection of Jesus, it gives us a goal to move forward to. And it gives us something to stand for, something to live for, something to have a purpose and a passion for. Now, if you believe this is it, what is your meaning of life? What is your purpose in life? Now, I can tell you as a Christ follower, I have purpose. I'm to worship God. I'm to grow as a disciple. I'm to be in fellowship with the church. I'm to minister to people. And I am to go make disciples through evangelism. I know that that's my purpose in life, just like it's your purpose if you have Christ. But today, if you're comfortable in the world, you forget all about that. You forget about your purpose. You forget about your direction. You forget about what God has. So why are you so depressed and a mess and stressed? Why? You ready? Because you think this is all it is. You've resigned to the fact that this is all it is. And when you lay down and you wake up and you think, man, my life is horrible, it's the pits, you will compromise. You won't have faith. Why read the Bible? Everything stinks anyway, so why read it? Unless you're like some like Lamentations junkie or something. You know what I mean? So you won't do it. And when it comes time to bring mutual encouragement to people, you won't be able to. You won't be able to encourage the larger body of Christ because you are so down all the time. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not advocating that all of us as Christians always have to wear a fake smile. Are you with me on that? It is very appropriate to grieve. It is very appropriate to be sad. That's not what I'm talking about when the situation calls for it. What I'm talking about is saying my life is sad, period. And my life is a mess, period. Or my life will never get better, period. It's okay to go through kind of junky moments. Are y'all with me on that? But when we say this is how it is, the end, you're sleeping on a bed that you're not meant to sleep on. So when we resign ourselves that my life will always stink, guess what? You're too comfortable today. So listen, y'all got to wake up because I'm talking about not being comfortable. Look, poke your neighbor. Poke them and say, don't get comfy and compromise. Tell them, don't get comfy and compromise. Here's another reason you can't get comfy. I can't get comfy because more is coming. Because more is coming. Now, look what Paul says. This is what's really neat. He says, they ask him, well, Paul, all right, if more's coming, what's it going to look like? And they say, well, but how are the dead raised? And Paul goes on to explain. You can look at the text. And he says, you're thinking wrong. You're thinking that the body's going to come out looking like it did when it went in. And he said, that's not the way you need to think. Just as a bird differs from a fish or the sun differs from the moon, the resurrected body will differ from the earthly body. It will be a different type of body. Now, last week, I hinted on this, okay? And I made the statement that I believed at resurrection, God would give Kenny a six-pack at resurrection. And apparently, some of you all really took that to heart because I went that afternoon on Facebook and somebody had Photoshopped my face on Conan the Barbarian, all right? So that's pretty awesome. I'm glad you see your pastor in that kind of light, okay? Well, I hate to bust your bubble. I said that jokingly last week. I still hope I get that six-pack, but probably not. What we do know about the resurrected body is what Paul tells us. He says that the body we're in now is sown in corruption. Everybody say corruption. But the body then is full of incorruption. Say incorruption. The body we have now is full of dishonor. Say dishonor. The body then, it will be full of glory. Say glory. This body is weak. There you go. That body will have power. This body is natural. That body will be spiritual. So what we understand is that at the resurrection, we will still somehow look similar to what we look like now in the image of God. We'll probably have legs and feet and arms and ears and all that, but it'll be different. And one thing I think about when we live in this world, man, we see the corruption, amen? We see the dishonor, amen? We see the weakness. We see the naturality. We see it. Some of y'all have seen it this week. You've seen the dishonor. You've seen the weakness. You've seen the corruption. And boy, it's so easy to say, man, my life will always be dishonor and corruption and weakness. But one day, all of that will be gone. It'll all be gone. And when I raise, my life on the new earth will be so different. I won't be living for corruption or incorruption or weakness. I'll be living in power. And by the way, you will be living to glorify God. What is the purpose of the resurrected body? It's not for Kenny to walk around with his six packs like Conan the Barbarian, you know? Probably not. The purpose of the resurrected body, you ready? Is to continue to bring glory to Jesus Christ for all of eternity. So I think about, man, if I'm a Christian now and I'm getting tempted to get comfortable in corruption and dishonor and weakness, I have got to remember that the power that's going to raise me from the dead is technically living in me right now. Did you know that? It's technically in me right now. So what should I do? I should take my body that's full of corruption and dishonor and weakness, and I should dedicate it to God and say, Lord, take this body that's one day going to be full of glory, one day it's going to be full of power, one day it's going to be full of incorruption, and God, use however you can, use me however you need to right now for your glory on earth. Have you done that? Have you said that my entire body and all my possessions and everything I am is for God's glory? If you have, then you'll do what God tells you to do. You'll listen to the Holy Spirit's call if you've dedicated that life to the Lord. One day, your body will be that way. Won't that be awesome when one day when the Lord tells us to do something in heaven or on the new earth, we won't even second guess it and come up with all those dumb excuses. Oh, Lord, but what if this happens? We'll just trust and just do it. Won't that be awesome? And just believe. God wants us to live that way right now. But the third thing is this, is that we really can't get comfy in this life. We really can't, because I was meant to look like Christ. Now you look at the very last part of it. He talks about Adam and Jesus. Adam was the very first man, the man made in the Garden of Eden. And we learn from the last passage that we read last week that it's through Adam's sin that death comes into the world. But he says that Adam was made of dust and he was scooped up and he sinned against God. But when Jesus came, it was different. Jesus came out of heaven. He was born of a virgin. He was miraculously conceived inside of Mary's belly. And he came differently than Adam did. He was different than Adam was. Adam was weak. Adam was sinful. But yet Jesus was heavenly, and Jesus was awesome, and Jesus was amazing. And this final phrase in verse 49 says, and in that day, those that follow Christ will bear the image of Jesus. the closest thing that we clue to what the resurrection body is really going to look like is it will look like Jesus somehow. Because ultimately, as we give glory to God, the greatest compliment that we can ever give to Jesus is that we live for Jesus and we love Jesus and we're going to do whatever we can for Jesus, and then one day he'll make us look like Jesus. I don't know what that'll be. We won't be gods, okay? We're not going to be a god. We'll still be human beings that are saved and redeemed with new bodies. But we'll be like the resurrected Jesus. That's what we'll look like. So let me ask you a pop quiz trivia question, can I? If God's ultimate goal in your life for the end of eternity is for you to look like Jesus, okay? Do you think that starts when you die and go to heaven? Or do you think that starts the minute you get saved? So, right now, you should be showing Jesus in your lifestyle. See, we get comfy as Christians. I mean, Kenny, it's a lot easier for me not to serve and just to lay down. I got that season of serving sign up out there. I see it, man. But it's just easy for me to lay down. That doesn't look like Jesus who washed the disciples' feet. Kenny, I know I should be in a life group. Man, I know I should. But man, I don't like to be around people. But yet Jesus brought a core group of 12 around him. And of that 12, he brought three of them that was his inner circle. Jesus wants us to have community and to be connected. Oh, man. But Kenny, I don't want to go out and tell people about Jesus. I'm just comfortable with just giving money to missions but never going on missions. But yet Jesus said what? He said, you go into all the world, baptizing them, making disciples. See, when we get comfy, we don't look like Jesus. Y'all with me, church? We don't look like Jesus. By the way, the man we worship and the man we honor, the man that we give all of the honor and praise and glory and power to, is a man that was homeless for 3 years and walked everywhere he went. How many of you all today would follow an out-of-work, homeless Jewish carpenter? That's right, Mike. But today we're called to follow him. We can't get comfy. We can't get comfy. Many of us today are so tempted to believe this is it. That this life is it. It'll always be like this. My pain will always be here. My suffering will always be here. And the truth is, you may have it for a long, long time. You may have it to the day you die. You may have family problems. You may have money problems. You may have health problems until the day you die. And if you're okay with that and saying that's how it's always going to be, then you're really missing out. But what I could tell you is that if you have faith in Jesus, the thing that will pull you up out of bed every morning and keep you up in a down world, it's not positive thinking, it's not self-help, it's not any kind of supernatural new age motivation, it's the hope that Jesus is putting it all back together. It's the hope that, you heard me say it last week, that it's bad. It might get worse, but it'll get better. And there's a hope that we carry. There's a hope. What's the key of staying up in a down world? You ready? It's hope in Christ. It's hope in Christ. It's hope in Jesus. We must make the decision not to lay down and say the way it is the way it'll always be. We can't do that. You've got to have hope. You've got to have hope that God's doing something. Keith Green was a Christian songwriter from the late 70s, early 80s. My favorite, hands down. His music was almost prophetic and just speaks to me in such a powerful way. One of Keith Green's most famous songs is a song called Asleep in the Light. And as I was preparing my sermon this week, that song just kept coming back to me. And I just wanted to read you a line, and I want you to listen. You ready? Think about this in light of what I just preached, of laying down in your misery and saying, this is as good as it gets. All right, you ready? Oh, can't you see such sin? The world is sleeping in the dark, that the church just can't fight because the church is asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well famed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. Jesus rose from the dead, but you can't get out of bed. It's time we leave our comfortable living behind. And we say, Jesus, this life is for you. It's bad, might get worse. But through Christ, it's going to get better. Don't resign to the way it is. Resign to have hope. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. And God, as we've talked about the resurrection of Christ, we know that it is through Jesus Christ who died and was buried on the cross for our sins. He who's died on the cross for our sins and was buried. Lord, we know that it is in Jesus that we can live. And God, that if one today would turn from their sin, turn to Christ, they could be saved. And Lord, I pray that they would know that there's hope in Christ. So Jesus, fill us with hope. If somebody doesn't have the hope in Jesus, I pray they'll discover it. But God, I want to pray for the Christians today too. Father, Lord, for the believer that's about to give up on hope. God, if we give up on hope, Lord, we're saying there's no resurrection. We're saying there's no resurrection. So Jesus, stir us awake. Let us be people of faith and hope. We thank you for Christ. We pray in your name. Amen. Won't you stand to your feet? Maybe you need to come pray. You're welcome to come pray at the altar. We have some prayer crosses here for our campaign that some of you all may want to come and get. But today, let's call out to Jesus for hope as we pray and sing.